text appears superimposed over Niagara Falls at night, inspired by actual events. Lifetime presents, in association with Johnson Production Group. A title appears superimposed over the Roaring Falls, Not So Perfect Stranger. Close on the cascading water of the falls. A woman's sneakered feet stand on the ridge at the top of the falls. She looks over the edge at the roiling water. Mist rises around her in the blue darkness. She turns around. A bearded man in a yellow rain slicker grabs her by her coat collar. He pushes her over the edge. The woman wakes up, safe in her bed. Now in the kitchen, with her laptop open on the counter, she turns on a tap. She places a tea kettle on the stove. She answers a video call on her laptop.
Nora, thanks so much for fitting me in so early.
Not a problem. Tell me about those nightmares you've been having again.
Ugh, it's always the same thing. I'm standing at the edge of the falls and...
And someone pushes you?
Sometimes I'm pushed, sometimes I just stumble and fall. Not sure which is worse.
As we've explored before, the waterfalls serve as a metaphor for your post-divorce existence. A turbulent void that threatens to consume you.
Right, a dark abyss threatening to swallow me whole. No wonder I need therapy.
She holds up a hand with a wedding ring on her finger.
You're still wearing it?
Yeah. I call it my reminder of my poor life choices accessory, my failed attempt at a happily ever after.
I have a suggestion.
Don't tell me you want me to conquer my fears. I'm just trying to conquer Tuesday.
You mentioned you have some vacation time banked.
What are you suggesting? A trip to Niagara Falls where Reed and I had our honeymoon? So, kind of like returning to the scene of the crime, right?
Don't think of it as punishment. Think of it as exposure therapy.
Let me get this clear. Your prescription is an anxiety-inducing vacation with a splash of facing my demons and a dash of sightseeing?
Let me know how it goes.
Will do. Thanks again.
She closes the laptop. A woman enters.
Good morning. Traffic was nuts. Some guy...
You okay?
Not according to my therapist. Her latest remedy is a scenic trip to the falls. She wants me to conquer my fears head on.
Now, isn't that just serendipitous? Because I swear I was contemplating how much I could use a vacation.
As tempting as that sounds, I think I'll pass. I've got enough thrills and spills in my daily grind.
No, girl, Niagara Falls is actually on my bucket. No, seriously. I mean, who wouldn't want to witness nature's fury while simultaneously dodging tourists with selfie sticks?
I don't.
Seriously. I'm sick of missing out on unforgettable opportunities. You know, like not being invited to your wedding.
Winnipeg is cold in February and you didn't miss anything, trust me.
Ava, you and I are going to the falls. That is non-negotiable.
Sometime later, a plane touches down. High shot of the Horseshoe Falls. Ava and her friend are on the road. Friend.
Okay, listen to this. This charming cottage features a cozy fireplace perfect for those chilly Niagara evenings. Situated in a tranquil setting, it is located within a 10-minute walk of the falls.
Ava.
Great. So, falling asleep to the sound of rushing water? I don't know, Ginny. It doesn't sound too tranquil to me.
It's gonna be great. Just the two of us, a little wine, a little venting about men. Perfect getaway, right?
Right.
They arrive at the cottage. Ava and Ginny enter the upscale accommodation.
Wow, it's gorgeous.
They scan the living room with its plush leather couches and fireplace. Now in a bedroom.
Oh, shotgun!
Ginny leaps onto a bed. Ginny.
Did you know that back in the day, this bed would have had a coin slot? This whole thing would be vibrating right
Ginny
now.
Ginny wiggles her shoulders. Ava fiddles with her ring.
I was worried this would happen.
Ava.
Maybe trying to mend a broken heart in the honeymoon capital of the world wasn't that wise of a move.
Let's just make the most out of this adventure.
Let's go check out the falls.
Ava nods. A little later at the falls. the Maid of the Mist cruises through the spray. Ava and Ginny are on board the boat with other tourists taking photographs. Ginny.
This is amazing! You know, we are literally just two tiny specks in the vast canvas of nature's masterpiece.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They both wear plastic raincoats.
Come on! This is your chance to stare down the jaws of nature's beast and laugh in its misty face.
Right.
Yeah, atta girl! Now, you see, who needs therapy when you have Ginny? Your trusty sidekick and fearless explorer.
Ava sees the bearded man wearing dark glasses. She looks again and he's gone. Anxious, Ava turns toward the water.
Hey, Ava, are you okay?
Yeah, I need a minute.
They stand looking out at the falling water. Ava tries to catch her breath. The torrents of water rush over the falls. Ava looks back at the other tourists but doesn't see the man. The Maid of the Mist cruises along the base of the falls. Later at a pub, a handsome man sits at the bar sketching a woman. Ava and Ginny sit at a table. The man sketches a woman. Ava and Ginny look at the menu. Ginny.
Okay. Don't look now, but I think you have a few admirers.
Ava looks around.
I just said don't look.
Pretty sure they're staring at you.
Oh, no. I highly doubt that. You see, they are very aware that I am just physically repulsed by the thought of intimacy right now. Yeah, it's like a bad perfume.
That's right, and I forgot you swore off men.
Oof, like a cruise ship swears off icebergs.
Ava fiddles with her ring.
Girl, you need to dump that thing into the falls.
Maybe I'm just not ready to admit to the world that I'm single.
You know, I have a solution for that. It's called liquid courage.
First round's on me.
Thank you.
Ava gets up and goes to the bar. The man at the bar looks at meticulous notes on someone's daily activities. Ava steps up to the bar beside him.
I had two cosmopolitans.
The man.
Between you and me, I'd avoid the cocktails here. Yeah, they skimp on the vodka. And stick to whatever they have on tap.
Thanks for the warning. Take it, you're a regular?
Been coming here since I was a teenager. Goat Island's practically my second home. It's just something about this whole area that speaks to me. It's like the falls are alive, whispering secrets through the mist. It's like standing at the edge of the world between the living and the unknown.
To each their own, I suppose. Personally, I prefer my scenery a little less, damp.
He watches as she plays with the ring.
Let me guess, you're here on your honeymoon?
Actually, I'm here to throw this thing over the falls in a symbolic act of self-healing after a very demoralizing divorce.
So basically the opposite of a honeymoon. You know, they think they'd have a word for that. Bitter moon, lemon sun.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Well, whatever you do, I wish you luck. Just remember, the true test isn't looking down, it's letting go.
A server gives him a takeout bag.
Thanks.
He takes the bag and exits. Ava returns to the table with a couple of pints of beer.
My lady.
Ginny.
Who was that?
Just some random guy.
Uh-huh. Beer.
Really? Rumor has it they skimp out on the vodka.
Oh, okay. And who told you that? Just a random guy?
Ava raises her glass and sips her beer. The man stands outside the window watching her.
There is something I've been wanting to tell you. It's about Reed.
Not now, please.
Okay.
We swore nothing would happen between him and her. said they were like brother and sister, best friends since the age of 5.
You know, sometimes the best way to move on is to, well, move on. Seriously, get a new boyfriend or like a friends with benefits situation. Mm. That really helps.
Mm. Nothing says closure like bad sex with a stranger.
Bottoms up.
They toast. The man stands outside the pub. Later that night, the man from the bar parks his truck near a windmill. He looks toward a guest house. There's a light on inside the house and he hears the sound of the music. He approaches the door. He pauses outside the door, then steps up to it and knocks. After a moment, the light comes on and a dark-haired woman answers the door. Woman.
What do you want?
Man.
I was thinking you can come over to the house tonight.
Why are you doing this?
Who's in there?
None of your business.
Well, we made that deal. I specifically said no guests.
There was no deal. It was a mistake. You think I don't see you watching me from that little house of yours? Have you been in here when I'm away, looking through my things?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Leave me alone. I'm gonna make sure everybody knows what a pathetic creep you are.
You're threatening me?
Thomas!
A man steps up beside her from inside the house. Thomas.
Is there a problem? I want you both gone. Tomorrow.
She wants you gone now.
Thomas taps the other man in the center of the forehead. He turns and walks back into the room.
Have a good night.
The woman closes the door. She turns off the outside light. The man slowly turns and walks away. Now the man opens a barn door. He looks across the yard toward the guest house. Now in the guest house, the woman lays sleeping in bed. Thomas is looking at his phone. Suddenly, a bright light strobes through the window. Thomas turns toward the window.
What the hell?
He gets up and opens the door, stepping outside. Thomas.
Hello? Do you mind? I'm trying to get some sleep.
The other man grabs him from behind, pressing the handle of a shovel to his throat. They struggle. Thomas cannot break free and eventually goes down to the ground. The woman wakes up. Through the open door, she sees the man standing in the strobing light. He steps over Thomas's unconscious body, then enters the guest house through the open door. The woman gets up. The man slowly walks toward her. Woman.
Where's Thomas? You need to leave now.
He lunges toward her. She tries to run, but he grabs her. Now the man gets into the couple's car. Slowly he backs out of the drive and drives away from the guest house. Thank you. early the next morning. The cottage. Ava wakes up. She picks her phone up off of the nightstand. She looks at the screen, then sets it down. Ginny's still asleep in the opposite bed. Ava.
Ginny. Ginny.
Ginny remains asleep. Ava picks up her ring and phone from the nightstand. Meanwhile, back at the guest house, the man is dragging a body across the yard. He loads the body into the bed of his truck. He covers the body with a tarp. Then he gets down out of the bed of the truck and closes the tailgate. Now it's falls, early morning. Ava stands alone at a lookout looking out over the water. She's wearing the same jeans and sneakers she wore in her dream. She looks at the ring she holds in her hand. She drops the ring and it lands on a ledge below. Ava looks down at the ring. Now the red pickup truck moves along the empty road. The man is driving it, now wearing a ball cap and sunglasses. Very much the man from Ava's dream. The truck comes to a stop. Ava's climbing over the rail to get her ring. Water rushes over the falls and mist rises. Ava clings to the stone guardrail as she climbs over. He looks at the bundled body in the back of the truck. Then he walks off into the woods. On the wrong side of the railing, Ava reaches for her ring. She gets it. She prepares to climb back over. The man emerges from the trees. Taking off his shades, he sees Ava clinging to the railing. He runs toward her.
Hold on!
Looking over the side, he reaches for her. He helps Ava climb back up over the railing.
Nice and easy. I got you.
Now she's safely on the other side.
You okay?
She recognizes him. Ava.
I think so.
High shot of the falls. Ava walks with the man. Ava.
What were you doing here so early?
The man.
Walking. Thinking. It's what I do when I got something heavy on my mind. Let the roar of the falls wash it all away. My parents used to own a tourist shop around here, about 6 blocks away.
You still live in town?
Yeah, I rent out my barn for weddings and stuff. I also have a little guest house on my property.
He hands her his business card. His name, Wyatt Ross.
In case you're ever looking.
The name of the place, Falls Ranch. Ava turns the card over in her hand.
You must think I'm crazy, risking my life for this thing.
Not at all. I think there's a big difference between losing something and just trying to take back ownership of your feelings after someone else hijacked them.
You're bleeding. Quite the scratch, too. What'd you get in a fight with an alley cat or something?
I had a run-in with some unfriendly pavement.
Really?
Yeah.
Looks like we're both vying for the title of clumsiest person in town.
Yeah.
You must have a
first aid kit in this thing.
Ava walks toward his truck.
In the glove box.
She opens the passenger door. He looks nervously at the bed of the truck. Ava finds a bandage and a Sharpie in the glove box. She gets out of the truck and closes the door. She draws a smiley face on the Band-Aid and peels it. Then she puts the Band-Aid on his collarbone.
Good as new.
Well, can I at least give you a drive back to your cottage?
Sure.
Ava gets into the truck. They drive back to Ava's cottage. Now they both get out of the truck. They both step around to the front of the truck.
Thank you for everything.
Oh, no worries. It was, interesting.
I don't know about interesting, but it certainly wasn't your average stroll in the park.
I should get going.
Listen, I feel like I owe you a proper thank you. Would you want to join us for dinner maybe tomorrow night? It's the least I can do. If you're not doing anything else, of course.
I'm sorry, I think I already have plans, but maybe another time?
She takes his phone.
Well, I'm still here for a few days if you change your mind, but if not, that's totally okay.
Thanks.
Ava heads into the cottage. She turns back and waves. Wyatt watches as she heads inside. Inside the cottage, Ginny is awake. Ginny.
Oh my god, Ava. Are you okay? I got your text.
Ava.
I'm fine.
What were you thinking going out there by yourself like that?
I couldn't sleep. I just wanted to get it over with.
Girl, if you were going to do a round two of chucking the bling, wake me up.
I tried. You were out cold.
Sorry. You must be exhausted. You should get some rest.
We came all this way. Let's go see some sights, take some photos.
Right, because nothing says alive and kicking like a leisurely stroll after an early morning cliffhanger.
I do oddly kind of feel alive and kicking.
Okay.
More shots of Niagara Falls. Now Ginny and Ava walk along the Niagara River. Ginny.
So, tell me about this mysterious savior.
Ava looks out at the water, then turns to Ginny. Ava.
I don't know much about him, other than the fact that he lives here in town.
Ginny.
Uh-huh, and he has impeccable timing and a knack for life-saving entrances.
Ava holds up her camera.
Where exactly are we headed? We are taking a hike along Niagara Falls. We're going to be chasing some photo-worthy views. Isn't that what you wanted?
Ava snaps photos of Ginny. Ginny holds up a hand.
You do realize that your phone takes photos that are just as good as that SLR, right?
What can I say? I'm a sucker for vintage technology.
She snaps more photos. Ginny strikes various poses.
That was a good one. Thank you.
They continue walking. Ava photographs a caterpillar's nest.
Are we even on the path anymore? This feels more like bushwhacking.
Oh, I'm only familiar with a cocktail by that name. Vodka, Kahlua, a little bit of triple sec. It's like a chocolate pina colada. Admit it, we're lost. On the contrary, we are exactly where we're supposed to be.
They continue walking.
You know what? It's been eating me alive. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
You found Reed with another woman?
Yeah, I ran into him the other day.
And?
And the woman he was with, he introduced as his fiance.
Ava looks at Ginny.
Yeah, and it gets worse. She was pregnant. By, 6 months.
Ava is stunned.
That can't be. We were together then.
Ava starts walking.
Are you okay?
I just need some time alone.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to...
I made my bed. Reed's the one that lied in it. Just give me an hour or two. I'll meet with the cottage.
Are you sure?
Ava walks away. The foaming current rushes by. Now Wyatt drags a body wrapped in black plastic from his truck. He drags it across the ground. Ava walks through the woods. She takes out her phone and snaps a photo. She takes a photo and texts it to Ginny. Your favorite bird, smiley face, story about earlier. Rushing, rolling water. Wyatt struggles, dragging the heavy body. Ava continues walking through the woods. She stands on the riverbank looking out at the water. She watches as the water of the river flows by. Ava spots Wyatt. He's seated on the riverbank using his feet to push the body into the river. Ava stands staring at him. She ducks down behind a rock. Wyatt continues to kick the body into the river. Behind the cover of the rock, Ava takes photos. Wyatt stands on the bank watching the body float down the river. He turns in Ava's direction, looking directly at the rock she's hiding behind. Holding her camera, she ducks down. Wyatt moves off the bank, closer to her direction. He crouches down, looking toward her. Ava pops up and runs away. It's too late. He's seen her.
Ava.
Wyatt goes on his way. Now back at Ginny and Ava's cottage. Ava's on the phone.
Please meet us there as soon as possible.
Ava.
Of course, we'll be right there.
She hangs up. Ginny's seated on the bed.
The police want us to meet them at the location where I witnessed the incident.
Ginny.
I don't get you. I mean, you hide under a blanket if you see a serial killer on TV. You have reoccurring nightmares if you step so much as a foot outside of your zone of comfort. You hyperventilate if you come within 30 feet of a hand railing with the slightest drop. But you see a man carrying a body next to a creepy river and all of a sudden you're all CIA taking pictures like your life depends on it? Can you explain yourself to me?
Not really, to be honest. I don't know what I was thinking. Can we just go? Fine.
They head out. Ava and Ginny approach their car. Someone watches, concealed in the trees. They get into the car. Ava is driving. Wyatt watches as they drive away. Now Wyatt picks the lock to the cottage door. He opens the door and enters. More shots of the falls in the Niagara River. Ava, Ginny, and the cop walk along the riverbank. Ava.
I was standing over there. I tried to get some shots from where I was hiding, but it was too far.
Wyatt's in the cottage. Back at the scene of the crime, the cop.
You mind handing us your camera? We need to print and extract the photos just for evidence.
She hands over the camera.
We'll also need you to come down to the station to provide a formal eyewitness statement.
The cop gives her his card.
Please don't hesitate to call if you remember anything else.
Meanwhile, Wyatt's still going through the cabin. Back at the scene of the crime, Ginny.
How you doing?
Ava.
I'm okay. You don't think he saw you or anything, do you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Back at the cottage, with gloved hands, Wyatt's going through a suitcase. He holds a pair of underwear. He looks at them, then covers his nose with them. He inhales deeply. Back at the crime scene, the cops look out over the water. Cop 1.
Knowing the strength of the current this time of year, body could be miles downstream by now.
Cop 2.
Unless it sank or got snagged on by the rocks.
Back at the cottage, Wyatt zips up the suitcase. He puts it back where he found it. Later that evening, back at Wyatt's guest house. Once again, he parks by the windmill. He looks toward the guest house. There's a light on inside. Now Wyatt walks toward the front door. Now back at Ava and Ginny's cottage. Ava appears in a bathrobe, head wrapped in a towel.
Hey, you all right?
Ginny.
You were up there for like an hour.
Ava.
Sorry, I was trying to get the chill out of my bones. Oh, it's probably the shock.
Back at Wyatt's. He watches a fire burn. He puts a suitcase on the fire. Now he sends a text to Ava. Ava, my schedule's cleared up. You still free for dinner tomorrow night? He sends the text. Ava receives it. Ginny.
Let me guess, it's that Wyatt guy. He wants to know if we're free for dinner tomorrow.
Oh, of course you are.
I don't know. After everything?
It's exactly the distraction you need right now.
Maybe. First, I need sleep.
What, you're just gonna leave him on red?
Yeah, the man can wait a bit.
Ooh, spicy.
Ava heads off to bed.
Good night.
Ginny looks at her phone. Meanwhile, at Wyatt's, he stares into the flames. Now Wyatt's in his kitchen preparing some stew. Next, in the barn, he climbs down a ladder into the basement. He carries a lantern that he hangs on a hook. Then he reaches up and brings down a small cauldron of stew. Wyatt climbs down to the bottom of the ladder. He turns on a nearby radio that's attached to a post. He tunes in a station. He goes to a table with a lantern. Then he goes to the woman who is in his guest house and pulls down her gag. He strokes her hair. He sits across from her at a table. Wyatt.
This is a puchero stew. It's made with chicken, chorizo, cabbage, potatoes, and chickpeas. I heard it's your favorite.
He looks at her.
What?
She stares at him.
You posted about it on social media 2 months ago, silly goose. Can't get enough of this heartiness. Hashtag soul food, hashtag homemade, hashtag puchero.
The woman.
Where's Thomas?
He wasn't good for you.
What did you do to him? They'll come looking for me. People will start asking questions. My friends, my parents.
As far as they know, you are on an epic cross-country backpacking adventure. 400 likes on this one already. Wow.
He holds up her phone.
Popular girl.
How did you manage to get into my phone?
I used your thumb. People should always use passcodes. Because you never know when you're going to get kidnapped. Okay, sorry. Too soon. But better safe than sorry, no?
Wyatt smiles.
So,
he changes phones.
Switch. Roo.
Text from Ava.
She's...
Tomorrow night sounds good.
Just a friend.
Does 8 o'clock work?
Someone I need to talk to figure out exactly
what she saw and how much the cops know.
He replies,
whether or not you and I have to
see you tomorrow night, can't wait.
Leave town for somewhere new.
You need help.
Why would you say that?
Please, let me go. You can't keep me in here like this and just expect that everything is gonna be okay.
Oh, no. Don't say that. I'm not keeping you here to hurt you. I'm keeping you here to save you.
From what?
From the chaos of the world outside. The chaos of a society that doesn't appreciate your worth.
My worth?
Of course.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the crowds. The suffocating weight of conformity. With me, you're free to be yourself.
You're a psychopath.
Don't use those words in this house! I'm so sorry.
He collects himself.
You're gonna have to be very calm in there.
They look toward a crate with chains on it.
What are you talking about?
I'm gonna check on you every day. Okay, I don't want you to worry. I'm here for you.
What are you talking about?
I'll explain later. Let's just enjoy our dinner. Okay. Now,
He gets up from the table.
I made this with...
He takes a spoonful of stew.
So much love.
No.
He tries to feed her.
No.
It's okay.
Water cascades over the falls. Once again, Ava stands on the ridge looking out at the falls. She turns around to see Ginny wearing the yellow rain slicker. Ginny nods. Ava turns back toward the falls. She steps closer to the edge. Then, just as she steps off the cliff, she wakes up. Ginny.
Oh, good morning, sleepyhead.
Is already up.
You okay?
Ava.
What time is it? It is 3:30. Yeah, you've been out for almost the entire afternoon. Don't worry, gave me a chance to shop. What do you think? It's nice. You still having those nightmares?
You were in it this time. We were telling me to jump.
Whoa. What do you think that means?
It's probably my subconscious telling me that I shouldn't meet up with Wyatt tonight. Despite what my best friend is about to say to convince me otherwise.
No. You need to go out and have some fun. For both of our sakes.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm kidding. I just think going out with this guy is a good idea.
The only way I'm going is if you come with me.
Ew. No, I refuse to be a third wheel.
You're not a third wheel because it's not a date. I just want to thank him for what he did.
Yeah, huh? Just admit it. You think he's cute. You like him.
Stop.
You know, I can just get a separate room if you guys want
some. Don't go there. I don't like him. That's the last thing on my mind.
I'm just being a good wing woman.
I'm serious. Oh, my God.
Later that evening, the falls are lit up. Ava and Ginny are at a restaurant.
Oh, no.
Ginny.
That is totally him coming toward us right now as we speak. Oh, very handsome. Super hot. Great job.
Wyatt steps up to the table.
Wyatt, hi. Glad you could make it. This is Ginny.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Ginny, Wyatt.
Apparently I have to thank you for saving my best friend's life.
Wyatt.
Oh, it was fluke timing. I used to work summers here at the falls. I've seen my share of accidents.
Things are a bit awkward. Wyatt comes around the table and takes a seat.
phone. Ava was telling me that you live right here in Niagara Falls.
I went to school not too far from here.
To a server.
Excuse me. Could I go whiskey? Neat?
The server nods.
Ava mentioned that you two have known each other since 8th grade?
Ah, yes, that is indeed where our friendship began, its epic journey, fueled by procrastination and forged in the fire of late-night assignments.
And the rest is history.
Speaking of history, I don't know if Ava told you this, but I have a ridiculously early spa appointment tomorrow morning. You know, I just hope you don't think it's rude if I call it a night.
You're leaving? We just got here. It's barely 9 p.m.
Oh, Ginny downs her drink.
And it is totally past my bedtime. Very nice meeting you, Wyatt. Y'all have a great time.
Ginny exits.
Well, that was awkward.
Was it something I said?
No, I think she thought she was doing me a favor.
Wyatt moves to Ginny's chair.
Yeah.
Ava sips her beer.
I don't know if you heard, but there was some drama not too far from here today.
That was probably about me. I went on a hike this morning and I thought I saw someone push a body in the river.
Are you serious? What did you do?
I called the police. They cordoned off the whole area, but I didn't see much, just a silhouette and what looked like someone carrying a body toward the river.
I know the trails around here like the back of my hand. Do you remember where you were?
I don't remember. But you know what? I took some shots with my phone to send to Ginny.
Wyatt scrolls through the photos.
Those are the remnants of the old Niagara Falls hydroelectric power plant.
He stops at a photo.
That's pretty far off the beaten path.
And enlarges it. He enlarges it even more. There appears to be a truck parked behind some trees.
Everything okay?
Yeah, it's just really awful that something like this could happen around here. Can I make a suggestion?
He turns her phone upside down.
No more phones tonight.
And lays it on the table.
Just for a little while. Anyway, no distractions, just good conversation.
Sure.
They toast and sip their drinks. Later that evening, Wyatt drives Ava back to the cottage. In the truck. Ava.
Well, I'm glad your schedule cleared up.
Wyatt.
I had fun tonight. When do you leave?
Tomorrow's the last day. We leave the next morning.
She leans closer, looking at Wyatt. He stares back.
Have a nice nap.
Ava hesitates a moment, then gets out of the truck. Now she enters the cottage. Ginny's on her phone. Ava tosses her coat onto the couch.
You did not have to do that.
Oh, but you guys were getting along so well. I wanted to give you some alone time.
Ava plops down on the couch.
Thanks. I think we left things pretty platonic.
No, I saw the way he looked at you. It was not platonic.
I'm really starting to regret that last drink. I told him so many stories. I even told him about my nightmares.
Ava flops over onto Ginny's lap.
I'm sorry.
Ginny rubs her back. Later that night, Ava tosses and turns in bed. A man sneaks into their bedroom. The girls are asleep with their night table lamps on. Carefully, he approaches Ava's nightstand. With a gloved hand, he reaches out and takes her phone. He slips the phone into his pocket. Ginny turns over. Then Wyatt reaches into the dish and takes Ava's ring. He slips the ring into his pocket, then slowly moves out of the room. Ginny wakes up. She props herself up and stares into the darkness. Then she slips on a sweater. Ginny gets out of bed and heads downstairs into the living room. She looks around in the darkness. Ginny moves to a window and peers out. Her reflection looks back at her. She steps back from the window. From out of the darkness, Wyatt grabs her. He holds a cloth over her face. His band-aid falls to the floor. Ginny struggles, but eventually goes limp. Wyatt sinks to the floor, releasing her. Now Wyatt's back in the barn basement. He undoes the chains on the crate. He opens the lid. The woman is inside.
No, stop.
She stares up at him. Wyatt kneels down beside the crate. Wyatt.
Hi.
He reaches into his pocket.
Hi.
And takes out Ava's ring.
Got you something.
He holds up the ring.
There's a symbol of my commitment.
He rests his head on his hand boyishly.
If you can find it in your heart to forgive me, I promise to take care of you. I'll love you. I'll protect you from all the harm. I would do anything for you, anything at all.
The woman.
You don't even know me. We had a one-night fling, but that's it.
A fling?
That's how you would describe the most romantic moment I've ever experienced? The dancing, the moon, the lovemaking, the promises we made to one another?
We were drunk.
I wasn't drunk.
Where's Thomas?
He pounds a fist on the crate. His face contorts in fury.
Didn't deserve you.
What did you do to him?
He gets up, grabs her hand, and forces the ring on her finger.
Put it on. And keep it on. Forever.
He slams the crate's lid.
No, no, Wyatt, no! Wyatt!
Wyatt's place, nighttime. Wyatt's truck sits in the darkness. The headlights of the woman's car come on. The car moves down a lonely country road. The car comes to a stop in the middle of nowhere and Wyatt gets out. He releases the emergency brake and the car rolls down an embankment. It comes to a stop at the bottom of a pit. Now Wyatt operates an excavator and the car is buried. Huge shovelfuls of dirt are poured over the car. Back at the cottage, Ava wakes up. The next morning, she rolls over in bed. She looks at her night table, noticing her phone and ring are gone. Then she looks to Ginny's bed, which is empty. Ava.
Ginny?
Ava comes downstairs. Ava answers the landline.
Hello?
Cop.
Miss Westcott, you're right about the body.
What?
The cop is by the river.
A fisherman found him this morning.
Were you able to remember anything else?
Yes, I forgot. I took a few pictures with my phone.
You mind forwarding them to the station?
I actually can't find my phone anywhere.
Okay, well, send us the photos as soon as you do.
I will. Thank you for the update.
Ava hangs up the phone. Now by the river, Thomas's wrapped body still lays on the ground. One of the cops approaches. The other is putting up yellow tape. They unwrap the body. They find Thomas's New York State driver's license. At the cottage, the bedroom. Ava picks up Ginny's phone. She types in a password. She looks at the empty dish on her nightstand. She puts down Ginny's phone, gets up, and picks up the dish. She looks in it. There's no ring. She replaces the dish on the nightstand. Then she looks around for her phone. Elsewhere, Ginny wakes up, gagged and bound. She struggles with the ropes. Her feet are tied to a chair. She's in Wyatt's barn. Wyatt enters. Wyatt sets a stool in front of her. He patiently waits for her to calm down. Wyatt removes the gag. Ginny.
What are you doing? What do you want from me?
You're gonna do me one little favor.
Meanwhile, Ava's still at the cottage. Ava answers Ginny's phone.
Hello?
Ava, it's me.
Ginny, I've been worried sick. Where are you? Are you okay?
Ava, I need you to listen to me. I need you to do something for me.
What do you mean?
Ava, I need your phone password.
What? Why?
I can't tell you that right now, please. Just trust me.
Trust you? Ginny, where are you? Is someone there with you?
Ava, if you contact the police or tell anyone about this, you'll never see me again. Do you understand?
Yes.
Ava, please, your password.
Okay. It's 1026.
Thank you.
Ginny, wait, where do I find you?
The call ends. Wyatt types in Ava's password. He deletes the photo. Then he turns off the phone. Ava sets Ginny's phone aside. She opens the closet and searches for something. She pulls out the cop's card, Michael McKibben. She notices the Band-Aid on the floor. She stoops down and picks up the evidence. She turns the Band-Aid over. There's a smiley face drawn on one side. She remembers putting the Band-Aid on Wyatt's neck. Slowly, Ava stands. Then she takes out Wyatt's business card. She flips it over in her hand, reading it. Wyatt Ross, Weddings and Lodging Rentals. She grabs her coat and exits the cottage. Later, Falls Ranch, afternoon. Wyatt's red pickup truck is parked near the barn. Ginny is imprisoned in the barn. Wyatt enters the barn. He drops a bag of tools into a nearby wheelbarrow. Then he turns around and locks the door. On the floor, Ginny lays on her belly. Her hands and feet are bound behind her back. Her wrists and ankles are suspended from the ceiling by heavy chains. She is gagged. Wyatt pushes his wheelbarrow along. Ginny continues unsuccessfully trying to free herself. Ava arrives, parking her red car among the trees. Meanwhile, in a shed, Wyatt loads his wheelbarrow with more tools and tarps. Unseen, Ava creeps into a shed. She sees Wyatt pushing his wheelbarrow across the lawn toward the barn. Now Wyatt enters a Dexter-style kill room. Work lights have been set up. Heavy plastic sheets have been suspended from the ceiling. Wyatt climbs a stepladder. Ava moves along the side of the barn. She comes to the basement window. She gets down on the ground, brushing her long hair aside. She looks through the window. She sees Wyatt putting up more clear plastic sheets. Wyatt spreads out a tarp on the floor. He moves the stepladder aside. Then he continues laying out the tarp. Ava stands, flattening herself against the wall. She takes out her phone. She makes a call.
911, what's your emergency?
My name is Ava Westcott. I was warned not to call the police, but my friend's been kidnapped. She's being held by Wyatt Ross. You need to get her right away. The address is 89 White Spruce Road. She's in this barn behind the house. Please hurry.
In the barn, Wyatt enters a memorabilia room set up in one of the empty stalls. It's crammed full of old Niagara Falls souvenirs. He looks around for a moment, then picks up an antique cast iron 1930s motion lamp. He looks at the antique a moment. Then he exits the stall. He takes the lamp to Ginny and sets it down on the floor in front of her. She can't help but look at it. Wyatt.
My parents believed that the falls held secrets.
On the lamp, a Victorian cast iron couple stands
mysteries
in front of the falls.
That would transcend the ordinary.
He switches it on and the falls light up. Wyatt sits down near Ginny. Ava carefully creeps into the barn, placing her sneakered feet onto the ladder that leads into the basement. Slowly, she descends the ladder. Ava reaches the bottom of the ladder. She looks around and finds a nearby hammer hanging from a post. Now Ava moves slowly through the darkened barn basement. Wyatt continues talking to the terrified Ginny.
Also as a symbol of resilience. Of enduring strength in the face of relentless change.
Ava continues moving through the barn.
They used to tell me stories, you know. Are people that would come here looking for redemption, seeking solace in the roar of the water. The falls have a way of revealing truths, of showing us who we truly are. It's the most beautiful. But unfortunately for you.
Now Ava's passing the kill room area.
So I'm just going to bury you.
Ava ducks down.
It's nothing personal, you just got caught in the current.
Transparent yellow made of the mist plastic raincoat and puts it on. He's still seated beside Ginny looking down at her.
But I so wish you could see the walls.
Meanwhile, the cops are heading out to the ranch. Ava watches as Wyatt drags Ginny toward the kill room. He drags Ginny across the floor behind the plastic sheets. Now Ginny is on her back. Her hands bound in front of her. Wyatt stands over her holding a knife. He crouches down beside her. Ava whacks him over the head with a hammer. He falls to the floor. Ava crawls across the tarp toward Ginny. Ava frees Ginny's duct-taped hands. Ginny sits up. Ginny.
Oh my God, Ava. How are you fine?
Ava.
Are you okay? Oh my God.
The two women embrace. Ginny frees herself of her bindings. Wyatt lays on the floor, still unconscious. Ava picks up her hammer. Ginny has the knife. Ginny stops.
What? He's got your phone. Okay.
They search for her phone on Wyatt. Patting him down over the plastic raincoat. Ginny reaches under the plastic.
Come on.
She holds the knife. She retrieves the phone.
Okay, let's go.
A sound comes from the nearby crate.
What is that? I think he's got someone in there.
They look at the crate. Holding hands, Ava and Ginny move toward the crate. Ava holds the hammer, Ginny the knife.
I don't know if there's like a timer on it and like I heard it bang.
There's someone in here?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God.
Ava unchains the crate. Together, they lift the heavy lid. The woman inside the crate looks up at them.
Who the hell are you?
She starts to stand. Ava.
You're Kirsten. Kirsten Sorensen.
Kirsten.
How do you know my name? I heard it from the police. I'm Ava. This is Ginny. We're going to get you out of here.
They help Kirsten out of the crate.
Okay. Cars outside. Police are on the way. Okay.
As they leave the kill room, they notice Wyatt is gone. Ginny.
Where the hell is he?
Later that night, all three women are back at the rental cottage. Ava's red car is parked outside. Kirsten.
I killed him. I'm the one who begged Thomas to come, and now he's...
In the kitchen.
...dead because of me.
Ava.
Don't say that. This is all on Wyatt. Don't say that.
Ginny.
Hey. Don't blame yourself. You didn't ask for any of this to happen.
Ava hugs Kirsten.
I really appreciate you letting me stay here tonight.
Don't worry, there are two cops walking the perimeter.
Yeah, and a car stationed right out front.
We'll hang out here together.
Ginny makes grilled cheese sandwiches.
That's quite the appetite you got there.
Oh, this is for the officers standing guard outside.
Ginny flips a grilled cheese.
Bringing him a grilled cheese is the least I can do.
She heads out with the sandwich.
I will be right back.
A cop sits alone in the car, illuminated by his phone. The man in the car stares down at his phone. Ava to Kirsten.
So, when are you heading back to Philadelphia?
My father's coming to pick me up tomorrow.
Outside, Ginny approaches the cop car. She looks inside. The man is now slumped over the wheel. Ava paces in the kitchen. She looks out the window.
I don't see her anywhere. Where is she?
Ava heads out.
What are you doing?
A hand reaches around the corner, covering Ava's mouth with a chloroform cloth. Kirsten looks out the window. She sees the cop slumped over the wheel in his car.
Ava!
She sees motion in the other room. Then, Wyatt moves toward her. Kirsten stands frozen. Then she backs away. Wyatt.
I told you I would do anything for you.
I hate you.
Wyatt's closing in.
You make me sick, and I would rather die than spend another day with you.
Don't.
Is that clear?
Don't.
Enough.
Don't.
For you.
Say that. Please
don't say that to me. Okay.
Kirsten reaches for a nearby kitchen knife. She holds it out in front of her. Wyatt also has a knife.
I don't want to do this with you. Not to you, right? I'm sorry, okay? Listen.
Kirsten tries to stab him. He grabs her, flipping her around. He plunges the knife into her side. Kirsten goes limp in his arms. Slowly, Wyatt lowers her to the floor. Cradling her in his arms, he leans against the cupboards. Wyatt bangs the back of his head against the cupboards behind him. Later, Wyatt's red pickup truck pulls up to a cemetery. Wyatt gets out of the truck. He goes to the back of the truck and lowers the tailgate. On the bed of the truck is a bundle covered in a plaid blanket. Under the blanket is Ava, hands and ankles bound.
What?
Ava.
Oh, it's happening. What did you do to Ginny and Kirsten?
Wyatt.
Ginny's fine. She'll be awake soon.
Wyatt is crying. Ava looks up at him.
Not Kirsten. I messed up. I hate myself.
Why am I here? What do you want from me?
Mother was buried here 12 years ago. She found out my father was cheating on her, so she jumped over the falls. She died with a broken heart. Now I know exactly how she felt. It got me thinking, though. You told me you've been having those nightmares about the falls. Guess what? I've been having them for years. Do you understand what this means? It's fate. We are destined to be together and destined to do this together.
Do what?
The falls.
Foaming water rushes over the falls.
We're gonna jump over together. I wanted to bring you here first, so you could see where it all started.
Wyatt cuts the zip tie binding Ava's feet.
No.
He grabs her arm and pulls her up. He pulls her toward the tailgate and they step out of the truck. Holding her arm, he walks her through the cemetery.
Probably not gonna believe this. Everything has led us here to this moment. This is my mom.
Wyatt looks at the headstone, distracted. Ava makes a run for it. Hands still bound, Ava runs among the tombstones. Her sneakered feet move along the path, just like in her dream.
You can't hide from fate, Ava.
Wyatt follows.
Death comes for us all, one way or another.
Ava hides behind a dumpster.
But I believe it can be a release.
She pulls out her phone.
A pathway to something greater. especially for those who meet their end beneath the water.
Her red car is still at the cottage.
Legends are told about an otherworld realm beneath the water.
Ava's sending her location.
Where lost souls can find solace and serenity.
At the cottage, Ginny gets the message. Ginny.
I know where she is.
Ginny runs to a nearby cop.
I know where Ava is! She just sent me this text. She says she's in danger and he's going to take her to the falls. She dropped a pin. We have to be able to find her, please.
The cemetery.
Who are you texting?
Wyatt pops up behind the electrical box. Phone in hand, Ginny gets up and moves away. Mist rises from the ground as she moves through the trees. She glances over her shoulder. Wyatt appears in front of her, grabbing her. Blackout. Later that night, the falls are lit up. Wyatt has Ava in a trailer. Wyatt.
If it weren't for that text you sent to Ginny, we would be able to resolve things much sooner.
Ava sits nearby, once again bound.
But now we're stuck here, waiting for things to quiet down. Waiting for Ginny to leave and waiting for the cops to move on to some new case.
Wyatt looks at Ava.
I'm guessing we're staying here for days. Maybe weeks.
Ava.
Whatever sick delusion you have about our so-called destiny, I want no part of it.
You think you have a choice in that? You are just as trapped as I am, Ava. Why don't we talk about these nightmares you've been having?
You're not a therapist. You're a psychopath.
You're blind to the truth! Consumed by your own fear and ignorance.
And what truth is that, Wyatt? That you're some kind of savior? Spare me the delusions. The only truth here is that you're a murderer and a coward.
You're the one clinging to the remnants of a failed marriage. Holding onto a wedding ring that's a symbol of everything that you couldn't make work.
You're holding on to some twisted fantasy about fate and destiny, playing God with people's lives.
You're worth me nothing, Ava! You can't talk your way out of this. As soon as the coast is clear, we are going to plunge ourselves over the falls, just like my mother did. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do about it!
Ava watches as Wyatt clenches his fists in rage. Now Wyatt exits the trailer. He puts a bar across the door. The door security walks away. Later, nighttime, Wyatt's truck returns to the trailer. He turns off the headlights. Then he gets out of the truck and approaches the trailer carrying something. Next in the trailer, Wyatt scoops peanut butter from a jar. Wyatt.
It's happening tomorrow.
He spreads the peanut butter on bread.
I only saw one cop this morning and zero this afternoon. I think they've already given up. Yes, tomorrow at sunrise, you and I will be swallowed by the majesty of nature. Now, please, let's enjoy some classical music and have fun on our last night.
Wyatt plays some music on his phone. He holds up the peanut butter knife, looking at it. The next morning, inside a white van parked nearby, an officer watches security footage of the falls. Carrying a coffee, Ginny enters the back of the van. Meanwhile, somewhere nearby, Wyatt gets out of his truck. Back at the van, Ginny.
Anything yet?
Cop.
Nothing.
She hands him a coffee.
Thanks.
He takes a drink. Ginny looks at the screens.
Wait, what's that over there?
Wyatt is pulling Ava from the back of the truck.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that's him, no doubt about it. We have to go now.
Dispatch, this is Officer McKibben. We have a possible cold 30 at Terra Pinpoint. Suspect fitting the description of Wyatt Ross. Requesting immediate backup.
McKibben pulls off his headset and gets up. Ginny and the cop run from the back of the van. Water gushes over the falls. Wyatt and Ava are on a ridge above the falls. Wyatt.
The first recorded person to survive going over these falls was a school teacher in 1901. She was 63. She went over in a barrel lined with a bed mattress, hugging her favorite pillow. In the past 150 years.
The cops are closing in.
They say over 5,000 souls have gone over. Some in a boat. Some in a big rubber ball, some by accident.
The water continues to cascade.
Of all those thousands, in all those years, do you know how many have survived? Less than 1%.
Cop.
Drop the knife, Wyatt! I come back to this side of the railing, right now. Right now.
Are you ready?
Please don't do this.
The cop reaches for his gun. The water froths hungrily below.
Wyatt, I'm begging you. Please don't do this.
Wyatt, let her go.
She elbows Wyatt in the gut. Then hits him, knocking him over the falls. He plunges over the cliff and is swallowed by the water below. Beneath the water, Wyatt floats serenely. Above, Ava looks down. Ginny breathes. Now Ava hugs Ginny. McKibben.
Dispatch, this is Officer McKibben. We're reporting from Terra Pinpoint. The suspect has jumped into the falls. The situation is neutralized. Over.
Ava and Ginny continue to embrace. Sometime later, at a lookout, Ava and Ginny look over the majesty of Niagara Falls. Ava.
You know the beautiful thing about waterfalls?
Ginny.
No, I don't, actually.
They're always changing. Drop by drop, whatever you're looking at right now, blink, and it's gone forever. A constant flood of new beginnings.
That sounds exhausting.
Try surviving a trip to Niagara Falls with me.
Right. Oh, it'll be relaxing, she said. Oh, we'll just take photos, chill. I'll finally get rid of that ring, which reminds me, you still haven't gotten rid of it yet. What are you waiting for?
Ava slips the ring off her finger. She throws it over the side.
Nice toss.
Well, there goes any chance of a refund. But hey, at least I got a free wish out of it.
Oh boy, what'd you wish for?
Quiet evening with my best friend. Some strong drinks.
Ava puts an arm around Ginny.
Very strong. Very dry.
Yes, please. Emphasis on the dry.
Under the water. Ava's ring descends to the bottom. It comes to rest on a rock. Credits.